add brotherly love. Now that is taken, of course, from 2 Peter, the first chapter, where the Apostle Peter tells us various elements of Christian character, Christian graces, that we are to add to our growth and development as members of the body of Christ. He tells us to add to our faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness or brotherly love. And then following that, he then adds love. And we're going to see there's, you know, a little bit of distinction between brotherly love and what he calls love that follows it. We know that God is love. That is, of course, the Apostle John gives us that statement about God, and we usually define love through the Greek word agape. And it is considered to be, we feel, the sum total of all of the fruits and graces of the Holy Spirit are summarized in that one word, love. However, agape love is not going to be our focus this afternoon. We will touch on it a little bit, but our focus is going to be on the one previous to that in Peter's listing, and that is brotherly kindness or brotherly love. And we believe that brotherly love, just as is the case with agape love, brotherly love is a requirement in order to have the Christian character fully developed. It is not, in other words, it's not just a means to get to agape love. Brotherly love stands on its own as a character attribute that is required for us to have to be faithful to the Heavenly Father. So we're going to talk about that type of love for a few minutes this afternoon. Now, in the Greek language, brotherly love is defined to us by the two words Philadelphia and filio. And the only difference between the two is Philadelphia is the noun form and filio is the verb form. And let me just read you some of the synonyms, some of the definitions that we see in both Strong's and Thayer's concerning these words, Philadelphia and filio, just to sort of give our minds an idea of what it involves. Fraternal affection, kindness, love of the brethren, the love which Christians cherish for each other as brethren, to be a friend to be fond of, to have affection for, to like, to treat affectionately, to treat kindly, to welcome, to be fond of. So, you know, this just gives you sort of an idea of what these words mean and really what brotherly love has to do with. It's much like the love of a family. And I think just about all of us, if not all of us, know how precious and how important the love of a family is. Now, it's interesting that in the scriptures, there are cases where this kind of love was demonstrated in wrong ways. For instance, the Pharisees, we're told, loved, and this is the word filio, they loved to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners. They also loved, filio, the uppermost rooms at the feasts. So there are incorrect ways to show filial love or brotherly love and these are just a couple of examples and there are others. But we're going to focus on the positive. And we want to identify several points or principles regarding brotherly love that we believe are of great importance to us in our development of the character of Christ, of this quality that Peter lists here in 2 Peter, the first chapter. Point number one we want to make is that brotherly love has as its source God Himself. You know, we may have thought initially that because of the definition of filio, that perhaps it's of some human or earthly origin. But that's not the case. It is from God. God has this kind of love toward us. In John, the 5th chapter, verse 20, our Lord said, "For the Father loveth filio," not agape, "loveth the Son." And in John 16:27, Jesus says, "For the Father himself loveth you." And that's, again, the word filio. The Father himself loveth you. And that he's talking to his disciples, talking to us. Now, there's another Greek word, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but it's related to filio. In fact, it's derived from the same root as filio. And it's used in Titus, the 3rd chapter, in verse 4, which also shows that this is part of God's character. Titus 3:4 reads, "But after that," and he's talking about man's fallen condition that he is in at the present time, "after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior," this is, again, this is a word taken from filio, "God's kindness the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared." And so, you know, in these three scriptures that we've just cited, we see that God is shown to have this kind of brotherly or filio type of love for his Son, for the church, and for mankind in general. And when we speak of toward mankind, we're speaking of with this view toward mankind's reconciliation back to their sonship with God and with his beloved Son. And you know, isn't this what we would expect from the Heavenly Father? He is the author and the ultimate giver of filio or brotherly love. So that's the source of it. So let's go on to another point. You know, brotherly love, by its definition or its definitions, describes not just a one-way relationship, but it describes a relationship that is at least two-way, and even beyond that, a relationship that is many times mutually experienced among many people. And this, we think, brings up one of the distinctions between brotherly love and what we call agape love. You know, agape love can be manifest in two-way and mutual relationships, and many times it is. But by definition, strictly, agape love is a selfless love. It is a love that is exercised in one direction, irregardless of whether it is mutual from the other party. That's why we speak of love for our enemies as being really of originating from this agape love, because we don't expect love in return from our enemies, I don't believe. In fact, you know, we might receive persecution from our enemies, but nevertheless, we love them. That is agape love. It's also God's love for his fallen creation. God so loved the world. That's agape. He knew that mankind in his present condition could not mutually return that love to him as their creator. They were not in a position to do that. But yet God still loves them. But brotherly love, however, has to do with mutual relationships between two or more individuals, that in which love and the things that go along with that love are exchanged one with another. And that's why when we gave you some of those definitions of filio or Philadelphia, and I like the one that I read that said, "love which Christians cherish for each other as brethren." Each other. That's a two-way, a mutual relationship that's described there. A third point we want to mention is that brotherly love, Philadelphia, filio, describes the natural family arrangement in its ideal condition, in the arrangement that God established for us in the Scriptures. You know, the arrangement of love between one's natural family members is authorized by God. Marriage itself, the family unit, is an arrangement that was authorized by God way back at the very beginning with Adam and Eve and their children. And since God is the source of brotherly love, it should not be surprising to us that He instilled this same characteristic of brotherly love, of family love, in His human creation, who were created, of course, in His image. And so since the Garden of Eden, mankind has, for the most part, obviously in his fallen condition, this has not always been the case, but mankind, for the most part, has cherished the family arrangement as one of mutual love, mutual affection, fondness, one member for the other. Unfortunately, we know in fallen man, this family arrangement does not always get expressed in this way in which it is described ideally as with brotherly love. There may be cases where a husband or a wife or a family member loses that mutual love, that fondness, that affection for other members of their family. And we know that this is happening all around us in the world today. And the natural family arrangement we know has suffered greatly as a result. But that was not the condition that man was created in. That's been the result of the fall. The scriptural ideal is that situation in which brotherly love is in force among and within the family arrangement among all the parties of the family. And when this is the case, what a joy it brings. And, you know, I know personally we're very privileged to have a family arrangement in which we have 3 children, their spouses, 6 grandchildren, and there is a mutual love and affection and care that we all have for one another, and what a joy that brings to us as just a natural family. And so this is an example in its most human basic form of what brotherly love, what filial love is, given to us by our Creator, God Himself. Now, the next point we want to touch on, it really sort of is the next step in talking about this, and that is that just as brotherly love describes the natural family arrangement in the way that God intended it to be, so also brotherly love describes the spiritual family arrangement and the fellowship which exists or should exist among brethren with one another, with God, and with His Son. And you know, the brotherly love that we share as a spiritual family begins with our relationship to God and His Son. You know, earlier we read, "For the Father Himself loveth you," filio. But if we read the rest of that verse, it says, "Because ye have loved me," and that's, again, the word filio, because we have loved our Lord, our Master, "and have believed that I came out from God." In other words, what the Lord is saying here is that, you know, I came out from God. That He created me. I was with Him in my pre-human existence. I know Him. I am declaring Him. And so when Jesus says that He came out from God and says that the Father loves us with the same filio type of affection and attachment, it also means that Jesus loves us in the same way. And when he says that we have in turn loved him with this type of brotherly love, that also by extension means that we love the Father in that same affectionate, loving family way. And so all of this together describes a mutual brotherly love, affection, fondness, and attachment that we each individually have with God and with His Son. And that is shown, I think, so beautifully when we go to God in prayer and we address Him, our Heavenly Father, and that we pray to Him through our elder brother, our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. But that spiritual family relationship does not just end with our Lord Jesus and our Heavenly Father. That spiritual family relationship now is extended to one another. All others who are in this same relationship, this same covenant arrangement with God. In 1 Peter, the third chapter in verse 8, the apostle Peter says, and uses pretty plain language, he says, love as brethren. And that's the word philio. It's not the word agape. It's the word philio. Well, what is it that makes us a spiritual family? You know, according to the flesh, we don't have a lot in common for the most part. You know, we have different backgrounds, different temperaments, different geographic and ethnic origins. We have different likes, different dislikes, different talents, and so on. Spiritually, though, we are part of just one family arrangement. We are sons of God. We are the espoused bride of Christ. We are together new creatures in Christ spiritually. We have all been bought with the same precious blood of Jesus. We all have the same standing of justification by faith. We are all begotten with the same Holy Spirit. We're all running in the same narrow way. We're all called in the same hope of our calling. And we are all striving for the same goal of being with our Lord and of sharing with Him in the glories of establishing or reestablishing mankind's relationship back with the Heavenly Father through the means of the kingdom. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the Apostle John says, we have fellowship one with another. In Titus, the third chapter, verse 15, the Apostle Paul reminds us really of the basis of this brotherly love or this arrangement that we have one with another. He says, Titus 3:15, and he's giving his closing words to Titus in this epistle. He says, all that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. That word love, once again, is not agape. This is filio. Greet them that love us in the faith. And that's important. The basis of this brotherly love, this affection that we have one for another, is our mutual faith. The faith once delivered to the saints. The truth. That's what binds us together. The things that we have been talking about this weekend. This is the faith that binds us together in brotherly love. You know, outside of that, outside of our relationship to the Heavenly Father, through the faith once delivered to the saints, we don't have things that would necessarily bring us together as brethren, as comrades. But through this faith, through our relationship to God, through His Son, we have this commonality and this union of family, spiritual family, that is so precious to each one of us. The Apostle Paul indicates to us that if we do not have this type of love, then there's a serious problem. He He makes the statement this way. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 22. And he doesn't specifically say brotherly love or love one for the other, but he talks about it in relationship to our Lord. 1 Corinthians 16:22 says, "If any man love not," and this is our good word philio again, "if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed." Now, I think what this tells us, if one is to be accursed for not having this kind of brotherly love and affection toward Jesus Christ, then most certainly he would also be accursed for not having that same love toward his fellow brethren. And so we see that in this point that we've just been discussing, brotherly love in this spiritual sense is not based on earthly relationships. It's not based on earthly ties, because there we really don't have a basis for brotherly love. But that basis that is founded upon our relationship to God through His Son, through the faith once delivered unto the saints, that's what binds us together. That's what allows us to have this mutual fondness and fellowship and love together. Another point we want to talk about is this. At the center, we will say, or at the core of brotherly love, is the quality of friendship. Now, why do we say this? Well, if you look back at the word philio and Philadelphia and some of the other Greek words that have the same root, they all come from the word philos, P-H-I-L-O-S. Philos is the Greek word for friend. And so anytime we're talking about these other words, whether it's philio, Philadelphia, or some of the other ones that are related to it, in essence, it all goes back to the thought of friendship. Well, our Lord told us something about friendship. In John, the 15th chapter, beginning with verse 13, he says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And then he tells us something which I think we should cherish. "Ye are my friends," he says, "if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." You know, one of the things we notice here in this 15th verse is he says, you know, "I'm not calling you servants," he says, "because the servant is not made privy to what the master or the Lord is doing. But he says, "You're not a servant. You're my friends, because I am telling you about my plan. I am telling you what I am doing and the reason I am doing it. I am making known the things that my Father has given to me. I wouldn't be making these things known if you were considered a servant, but you're a friend." What a beautiful thought that is. And so we see that friendship has a very close relationship to brotherly love. They're both exemplified in Jesus, and by extension, they're exemplified in God Himself. You know, we use the term friends when we speak about one another. We talk about the friends in Chicago or in Orlando or wherever. Well, that's a scriptural term. In 3 John, verse 14, the Apostle John says, "Peace be to thee. Our friends, philos, salute thee. Greet the friends, Philos by name. True friendship is a very deep and a very long-lasting, and we would even say eternal, relationship. It's built on mutual trust, mutual love, and mutual care for one another. Friendship will overcome all situations, all circumstances that might seek to damage it. True friendship transcends all apparent differences or conflicts that one might have with another. The book of Proverbs gives us a couple of wise statements about friendship. Proverbs 17:17 simply says, "A friend loveth at all times." There is no qualification. A friend loveth at all times, period. In the next chapter of Proverbs, chapter 18 and verse 24, we have this statement. "There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Now, how can that be? How can friendship be a closer relationship than that of a brother? Well, perhaps we could look at it this way, and this would be kind of a practical way of looking at it in our fellowship. You know, when we first meet a brother or a sister in the truth, we immediately have a kindred spirit based on our mutual love for God, for His Son, and for the truth. And so we immediately have a brotherly love, an affection for this brother or sister who we are meeting for the first time, based on those spiritual ties that bring us together. However, friendship with that brother or sister takes a little more time. We need to get to know them more. We need to be with them more. We need to exchange our fellowship with them, see what their experiences are, and they can see what our experiences are. Talk to them about their blessings and about their trials, and we likewise with them. That's how we, as the hymn says, make friends of God's children. This does take time. But once we love our brethren, not only with brotherly love, affection, or attachment, but as friends, we have reached a level of brotherly love that is impenetrable by any destructive influence or force. And that should be our goal, to not only have brotherly love for one another, but to have it reach such a point, such a friendship, that nothing can come between us. Another point we want to mention is that brotherly love, again, really by definition, and as we have in some of our previous points, brotherly love must include actions and interaction which show forth and demonstrate that love. And this is really important. Brotherly love simply cannot exist among us as the Lord's people without interaction between us. And for interaction to take place, there must be personal fellowship. There must be contact. We cannot hole ourselves up in a closet somewhere and expect to fulfill our responsibilities along the lines of brotherly love. It just can't happen. We've got to get together. We've got to assemble together. And this assembling and fellowship together is not just a case of, you know, walking into the meeting room on Sunday, sitting down, listening to the study or the talk, and then getting up and going home. That's not enough. It is the entire experience of getting together, of seeing our brethren, of greeting them, of shaking hands, of smiling, of conversing with them, praying together, singing together, testifying together, and sometimes shedding a tear together. This is how we come to show our love for one another through action, through interaction. This kind of fellowship includes many different opportunities. They may be at a meeting or at a convention. These opportunities may be in our homes. They may be on at other special occasions. They may be at a meal or in our cars as maybe we travel together to a meeting or to a convention. Sometimes we simply bump into one of our brethren on a walk or at the store. These are all little opportunities that we have to interact one with another. And in a lot of ways, it's these many, what we might call informal parts of our fellowship, which really give us the sort of the nuts and bolts opportunities to express and act upon this brotherly love. And, you know, there's nothing that can replace this. This, you know, we can, yes, we have the privilege of telephones and internet and emails, and that's good. These have their place in our relationships one to another. But personal fellowship, personal one-on-one exchange and discussion and talking, there's nothing that can replace that. And it's necessary for our brotherly love to develop. There's a number of scriptures, we're just going to cite a few of them, that tie into and tell us what some of the actions are that are related to brotherly love. For example, Romans 12, verse 10 says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love." Be kindly affectioned. And in this same verse, it says, "In honor, preferring one another." These are actions that are related to brotherly love. Preferring one another, giving preference to others. In Romans, the same chapter, chapter 12, verse 13, he says, this talks about distributing to the necessity or to the needs of the saints. That's an action related to brotherly love. In the same verse, Romans 12, 13, given to hospitality. Hospitality is action related to brotherly love. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul tells us, "Let brotherly love continue." And then in the next verse, and I'm reading verse 2 from Moffat, he says, "Never forget to be hospitable. For by hospitality some have entertained angels or messengers of God unawares." In Titus chapter 1, verse 8, again reading from the Moffat translation, "One must be hospitable, a lover of goodness." These are all things, hospitality, goodness. These are all things that relate to the actions of brotherly love. 1 Peter 3, verse 8, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another." Compassion is also an action or an interaction related to brotherly love. "Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." You know, even simple courtesy one toward another is part of brotherly love. The last point we want to mention is kind of where we sort of take this filial brotherly love and tie it into agape love. Because there is, we said at the outset, there is a connection. And the point is this, when properly developed, brotherly love engenders and promotes agape love. And the best way that I know to illustrate this is to use the natural family arrangement. You know, when we were children, we get to the Christmas season, and we always enjoyed giving gifts to other members of our family and helping our mothers, you know, wrap the presents up. And one of the reasons we enjoyed doing that was because we were pretty sure we might get some gifts too. Well, that's kind of like what filial love is. You know, there's a give and take back and forth. And that's good. That's a very loving arrangement. But you know, as we matured, as we became adults, as we had our own children, and now as we have our grandchildren, we gradually have come to the point where we enjoy giving a gift to somebody in our family much more than getting anything in return. Well, maybe we'd get something in return, but it doesn't matter to us anymore. We're just as happy giving, you know, our grandchild or our child or whoever it is a nice gift for their birthday or for Christmas. And if we get something in return, fine. If not, it doesn't really matter. That's agape love. Giving love, showing love to others without really desiring anything in return. But you know, spiritually, there's an added piece to this. When we all have that attitude, when we all, as individuals in this fellowship, have the attitude that, you know, I want to express my love and show my love toward my brethren, regardless of what I get in return. Well, if we all have that attitude, guess what? We get it back 100-fold, even though we didn't. You know, it wasn't motivated by that. And that's the key. We want to be motivated totally by unselfish, selfless love for one another. We'll just repeat these 7 points one more time in case you're taking notes. First, brotherly love has as its source God Himself. Point number two, brotherly love by its definition describes not a one-way relationship, but one that is two-way, or even beyond that, one that is mutually experienced among many. Point number three, brotherly love describes the desired natural family arrangement. Number four, brotherly love describes the spiritual family relationship and fellowship which exists not only among brethren with one another, but also with God and with His Son. Point number five, at the core of brotherly love is the quality of friendship. Number six, true brotherly love must include action and interaction, which exemplifies and demonstrates that love one for another. And point number seven, when properly applied, when properly understood and used and demonstrated, brotherly love engenders and promotes agape love, selfless, unselfish love. And so as the Apostle Peter concluded his thoughts concerning, you know, adding these things to our faith, he said in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 8, that if these things, including brotherly love, be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 10, wherefore, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.